Thank the Lord for the good service this morning. Amen. The testimonies were exciting, weren't they? Oh, yes. Very, very exciting. In your Bibles, turn to Acts, the 12th chapter. Acts, the 12th chapter. We're going to read a few verses now to get the whole context of what we want to preach about. Starts out in verse number 1, Acts 12 and 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Then when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals," and so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out. Followed him was not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. They went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel, had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate. For gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Amen. Last Wednesday night, Brother Steve highlighted some of these verses and used the text to encourage us as we were about to go to prayer concerning the revival. He brought forth some very encouraging thoughts that helped us in the effects and results that there is in prayer. We want to look again at some of the events that took place in these few verses. At this particular time, extreme persecution had now broke out upon the church. But this persecution was just a little bit different than before. It was actually a persecution of the leaders. It was a new wave of persecution, and it was instigated by King Herod. Acts the 12th chapter, verse 2, said, "And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." Amen. What do we see here? They were going after the leaders. Why? As they saw it pleased the people. Now this was Herod Agrippa, who was a friend And he was very popular with the Orthodox Jews. He even kept the Jewish, amen, faith. Amen. He was very, very popular king or ruler. Verse 3 says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And it says, these were the days of unleavened bread. The Passover feast was on the 14th of Nisan. For that day and the seven following days, no leaven must be used, and the week was called the days of unleavened bread. During that time, no trial nor execution could be carried out, and that's why Peter was in prison. Why? He was awaiting execution after it got finished. The reason of this persecution was simply, amen, that Herod wanted favor with the Jews. Now Acts 12 and 6 says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now when these people were put in prison, amen, they were guarded extremely. Oh, yeah. Amen. Here's a man that was bound between two soldiers. His left hand was chained to the right hand of one of the soldiers, and his right hand was chained to the left hand of another soldier. And it was common practice of securing prisoners, amen, among the Romans. Now I'm sure that Peter had heard what had happened to James. Amen. And knew that the same fate lied out ahead. Amen. Just a little while, he was going to go through the same fate. Yet in this state that he was in, he slept. He slept as quietly as if there had been no danger. In fact, he had to be awakened by an angel. Otherwise, he was in a sound sleep. Amen. There's nothing that will give quiet rest and gentle sleep, amen, as a conscience void of offense. And in the midst of those dangers, amen, his confidence was in God. And so he went ahead and rested securely and calmly. The third psalm, verse number 5 says, I laid me down and slept, I awake, for the Lord sustained me. The fourth psalm, verse number 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Persecutions were taken to, or precautions, excuse me, were taken to assure that Peter didn't escape. But Peter was asleep, knowing he was condemned and an execution laid out ahead the following day. Peter had confidence in the Lord, that the Lord would deliver him. Now the 10th verse says this, Acts 12 and 10, the Bible says, when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. That first and second ward, or where other soldiers, besides the ones he was chained to, were guarding. Now, whether God must have put him in a deep sleep, because he's going by the first and the second ward, right outside of his, amen, right outside of his cell was other soldiers. And then he had to go past another pair of soldiers. What took place in the prison shows us that God had full control of that prison. Man was not going to remove or rescue Peter, amen, from the fate that lied out ahead of him. Now we'd like for a while tonight, look at this deliverance. And we want to apply it to us spiritually. We all were in a place where we went astray because of sin. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse number 5, pretty well highlights every one of our lives. It said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Then it says in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans, the third chapter, verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. What is sin? It's when we go our own way, away from the things of God. As we look at our scriptures tonight, we read quite a few scriptures. We found that there was a great persecution led by King Agrippa. And this thrilled the Jews. They were thrilled, amen, that they could control King Agrippa. Amen. And the more he persecuted, the more they were pleased. The more they were happy with him. Peter was made as secure as man could make him in that prison. They couldn't make him any more secure than he was. And it made me think how the devil has had us so bound and securely fastened by the chains of sin, every one of us. Psalm 68 and 6 says, God places the solitary in families and gives the desolate a home in which to dwell. He leads the prisoners out to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell on a parched land. Let me read that same verse. Makes it a little clearer in the Amplified. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What was the first thing that happened to Peter? The first thing that happened, light came in that prison. Light. What's the first thing that happened to you? Light. Amen. The angel in the presence of God appeared. We were all rocked to sleep in the clutches of Satan till light came and shone upon our condition. Now, what is the first thing the light did? Woke us up to our condition. Amen. There are ones, I'm afraid, this tonight that are still rocked asleep in the security of their own way. I have seen one set through special services, special movement of God's Spirit, and not be moved at all. That's troubling. That's troubling. This morning, great movement of God's Holy Spirit. It's not on a program. It's not planned. Nobody had it in their mind that this is going to happen. God moved in our midst this morning. Yet ones were able that have a need. There was one, the ones that were that had a need, set right through it, unmoved. Unmoved. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Amen. One can set through special movements of God's Spirit and not be moved. There was a time when these same individuals were troubled and bothered. But you know what happens now? God lets them set. And seemingly, they're untroubled. If they are, they give no outward expression. Amen, that it's so. They're bound spiritually speaking, and as light or the presence of God wakes them, they're going to be lost. There are many people walking around today bound with things that they know better. People walking around today with attitudes. Unless God awakes them, they'll be lost. You know what the word, excuse me, my voice is starting to break up a little bit here now, but do you know what the word attitude actually means? I had to look it up. I thought I knew what attitude meant. But I was surprised when I read some of the synonyms. It means cocky. It means arrogant. It means defiant. And it also means negative. Others are walking around bitter. And Paul, when writing to the Ephesians, said in chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Another translation explains these words a little better. He says, let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, and ill will, or baseness of any kind. Light from the gospel will lead you away from all that. King David was bound in sin so bad, he couldn't understand the parable till the prophet applied it to him. Samson was rocked to sleep on Delilah's lap while the enemy was preparing to come upon him. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, verse number 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. What did the prodigal say when he remembered father's house? One translation says it this way, when he came to his senses. Luke 15 and 17 says, and when he come to himself and said, he said, how many hired servants my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. But as we go on, we look at verse number 7 in Acts the 12th chapter. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared standing beside him. And the light shone in the place where he was. And the angel gently smote Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. The light, even though it was the presence of God, didn't wake him, but the gentle touch of the presence of the Lord woke him up. What did the voice of God tell us? Get up quickly. And when we did as the Lord commanded, what? The chains fell off. Whether you got saved in a church house, or you got saved in a home, or you got saved in a barn, amen. It's not where you got saved. It's a fact you got saved because you followed the light. Peter followed the light. And no doubt, I tried to think, this is nighttime. This is at night. And no doubt those prisons were not well lit, if they was lit at all. I'm sure they had a candle burning somewhere. They were not well lit. And when they finally came to the last door that led to the city, it also opened at the voice of God. What do we really see in this text? No matter what the bondage is, if you wake up and follow the Lord, you're going to be led to freedom. Amen. No matter what it is, if you follow God's word, if you follow that light, it's going to lead you to freedom. Amen. Christ is a master of deliverance. He'll open the prison door. You, amen, that you're in and set you free. Thank God, when I got saved, I had all kinds of things, all kinds of baggage, drinking, playing cards, amen, gambling, all those different things, the wildlife. But as you follow the light, where did God lead you? To freedom of all those bondages. The 61st chapter of Isaiah, verse number 1, the first message I preached at God's Acres. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach. What? Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, claim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The gospel is good tidings, good news. We hear a lot of bad news daily, but I'm telling you, the gospel is good news tonight. Amen. Where did all this power, amen, come into that prison? Where did it all come from? Amen. Well, I'll tell you where it come from. It come from the prayer room. Amen. God was brought into the picture through prayer. Acts 12 and 5 is really the mainstay of these verses. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. There's where your prayer without ceasing comes in. Amen. A group of saints gathered together. Amen. And they went to a prayer meeting. Peter goes to prison. They didn't go for an attorney or a lawyer. They went to prayer. James 5 and 16 says this. Confess your faults one to another. Not somebody else's, yours. And pray one for another that you may be healed. Now listen to this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Revivals, deliverance, and many other promises get energized in the prayer room. Now the Bible lets us know that Peter was still in the days, not knowing what in the world is going on. Amen. He thought he'd seen a vision. Amen. When God delivered you and I many times, what? We stand in awe. And we can't believe what's really happened to us. Amen. I look back on my life and I think, I did that? It's almost like you feel that, amen, that you was good all your life. Amen. When you look back on your life and ones bring up what they knew you or whatever, you think to yourself, did I do that? Peter, amen, he was kind of to a place where he couldn't understand it. He thought he was seeing a vision instead of a reality. Now, when Peter finally came to himself, where did he go? Where did he go? Well, I want to tell you right where people to get saved want to go. They want to go be with other saints. Amen. When people get saved, that's where they want to go. They want to go to a people that's like-minded. Amen. And act the same way they act. He wanted to be with other saints, so he went to the house of Mary. Acts the 12th chapter, verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he thought it over, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And I'm saying, dear church, that's the desire, amen, when one is saved. You want to be with God's people. You can't wait to go back to church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not to forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as a man or some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's move on to Acts 12:13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken. Her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly, amen, affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, they were astonished. Even though Rhoda knew Peter's voice, she was hesitant to let him in for fearful of being deceived. This is in the night. The town is supposedly asleep, but the door is bolted. Amen. Why? This is a time, church, of extreme persecution. The church was in fear as James had already been killed, Peter cast in jail, amen, and he was waiting his execution. No doubt they were very hesitant and even afraid to open that door. What a great lesson this is for you and I tonight, church. It shows when we as a church, amen, it shows what we as a church need to do when dangers threaten our worship. Things that were going on were very disturbing. But as Peter went to prison, the church went to prayer. Amazing. Amazing. Amen. They didn't go to argue with him. They didn't get an appointment with him to talk to him. They went to prayer. Luke 18 and 1 says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is a major part of a Christian's life. A major part. How many prayers do you say in a day? Well, there are gatherings together for prayer meetings and things, but many times during the day, we breathe a prayer, don't we? It doesn't mean we gathered with somebody, but you know, you can say, what are some of the prayers you say? Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, give me the words to say. Amen. Lord, help me as I study. Amen. There's many, many prayers you can say, but there's power. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, much. And Jesus' admonition to us was, men are always to pray and not to faint. Amen. In his lifetime, amen. In his lifetime, I say to Jesus, the Christian's lifeline to Jesus, he dares not let his life slip from prayer. Jesus mentioned the word faint. If we don't pray, we're going to faint. It actually means fail. You're going to fail. Or you're going to grow weary. Or that word means grow weak. You're going to get weak. Here in our study, the saints are praying about a case that looked hopeless. He's already in the prison. He's not going to court. He's already there. And the next step for him is going to be execution. He's already condemned and sentenced. And it's going to be execution. And it looked hopeless. Amen. The prison they had him in the inner prison. That's where they put him. Amen. The criminals they thought were extreme. They put him on the inner prison and attach him to two soldiers. And there's chains, no doubt with shackles or braces around his arm. And I guarantee you, he's not going to go anywhere unless God moves upon him. Here in our study, again, the saints are praying about a case that looked hopeless. Why? James wasn't delivered, and he was in the clutches of the same group, the same people. James was in their clutches. James died, and it was hard to believe that Peter's outcome was going to be any different from that of James. They prayed as they knew they should. But what happened? They were astonished at the outcome. Oh, yes, they were. They didn't believe it was Peter at the door. They prayed about something that, amen, they were actually astonished when God answered the prayer. What a lesson for the church. Praying, seeing no results, seeing no activity, then all at once, what? The prayer is answered. Amen. Have you ever prayed for somebody and prayed for so long, almost to the place where you feel it's hopeless? You don't know whether you should even continue to pray for them or not. The church was in that mode right there. They were praying for, amen, for Peter, but they're amazed that God answered the prayer. Even when they saw him, they're amazed. They're astonished. Amen. What's that tell us? It may look hopeless. It may look like there's no activity. It may look like nothing's even coming that direction until your answer. Don't quit praying. What did they pray? They prayed without ceasing. Otherwise, one right after another. Just kept a prayer group going through the night. It teaches us, even though we see no results, we see no activity. Amen. It teaches us, hold right on. Don't give up hope. Don't back off, even though you don't see anything happening. Amen. And others are being delivered. Amen. You keep on petitioning God for favorable results. Amen. Mark the 10th chapter, verse 27. And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it was impossible. It is impossible. And it was impossible with men to get Peter out of that prison. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. What else does these scriptures teach us tonight? It teaches us this, spiritually speaking, God can deliver you from anything that's got you bound. Amen. If he can bring Peter out of a condition that looked hopeless, he can bring brothers out of the same, bring others out of the same condition that many times looks hopeless. He's brought people out of drugs. Oh, yes, you keep following the lights. You keep following, amen, the word of God, and God's going to complete deliver you from drugs. Amen. Oh, yes, don't get weary. Don't get weary, amen, and following, amen, the Lord. He'll bring you through alcohol. He'll deliver some of you from porn. Amen. That's addictive. Even though you wouldn't want to look at it, it'll, amen. The devil will work it and draw you right back into it. He'll deliver you from porn. He'll deliver you from temper tantrums. You ever throw a temper tantrum? Can't get your own way. And oh my, what a time that is when you can't have your own way. What? You throw things, you say things, amen, you act in such a way, amen, it's not really conducive to Christianity. It's just a good old temper tantrum. And there is a cure for it. There is a cure for it. Amen. The Lord can help, but also parents can help. There is a place that helps cure that real good. Temper tantrums. You know, God excels in deliverance. When I look back on my own life and see all the things that I was bound with, oh, how I wanted to come home from Rockwell so bad. I would get to the gate where the red light was, and instead of turning to the left, amen, to go on home, I'd wind up turning to the right, saying in my mind, well, I'm only going to get down there for just a little while. It never worked that way. That little while would turn in for a long, long time. And I'm sure you had bondages in your life. Amen. The same way most all of us had a baggage when we come to the Lord. And it's miraculous how God delivers. But God does deliver. This chapter, as Steve was reading it the other night, the few verses and highlighting it. Amen. What great verses he brought before we went to prayer. But as he was highlighting that, I was thinking on that, thinking on this and thinking about how we got delivered. Oh my, maybe we wasn't in a prison cell, literally speaking, but we certainly were in a spiritual prison house. And how, what happened? Light came. Amen. And we followed that light. Where did it bring us? It brought us right to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where the Spirit of God brings you. Why? You sinned against God. Forgiveness is through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will bring you to Jesus Christ. What happens? Amen. You become a new creature. Amazing. Amazing. God specializes in hard cases. That was a hard case. Amen. Just think about it. Being cast into a prison. Not just sold in a prison like we do today with other people. He's chained. He's got the most extreme, amen, the most extreme things being done to assure that he's not going to escape. A soldier on each side with a chain. Gates locked. And then there's another gate locked. And then there's the outward gate. And I'll guarantee you, amen, if it hadn't been for God, Peter would have left this earth the following day, for sure. But God had something in mind for Peter. Oh, yes, he did. Peter wasn't done yet. James was done. Amen. God called him home. But Peter had a work to do yet. And God moved. And when God moves, there's nothing but deliverance. Amen. Amen. We bring the message to a close tonight. In this revival, we want to see souls come in, amen, and get deliverance. Deliverance. There's people out there that want God just as much as you and I want God. Amen. All we need is that light. Maybe to radiate out from our lives to lead them to Christ. Amen. You notice in our scripture, though, Peter was so asleep that when the light came, it didn't wake him up. The angel had to wake him up. That's how sound asleep and rested he was. What? With his confidence in God. That God would take care of the whole matter. How could we sleep knowing the next day we're going to lose our head? Think about it. If we was in that prison and we're chained, amen. You think we could lay there and just go to sleep? Amen. Restful and amen. none of the clatter and the banging around you wakes you up? I doubt it. But I want to tell you, Church of God, God specializes in deliverance. He's a specialist. He knows exactly how to take a hopeless case, amen, and bring that case to salvation, amen. And just like he did in our own lives, as you look back in your life, amen, if you've been saved for any time at all, you can't hardly remember the things that you did. But every once in a while, you get a flashback, and you think, I did all that, and look where I'm at today. Why? Because of the light, the light. As we bring the message to a close, I'm wondering tonight, is there anybody here that's bound? Or would you even admit it that you are? Maybe you're bound with porn. Maybe you're bound with something else. Maybe you've got a terrible temper. Maybe it's almost uncontrollable at times. Maybe there's other things lurking in your life that the devil's using. Whatever it is, it'd be a good time to get it straightened out. Why? So you could enjoy the revival this week. Amen. As we bring the message to a close, if you got a need, amen, we're not going to hold you long, but if you got a need, bring it to the Lord.